I'm sorry, can I turn this fucking metronome off?
Yeah, please.
Well, how do I get rid of that?
I don't know.
Jesus Christ. Look up another
YouTube tutorial.
I'm literally Googling metronome off.
GarageBand. Jesus. How to turn off the metronome.
What, triangle button. Oh.
Oh my God.
Oh my
Talk
God.
Talk about edging.
I haven't felt that sense of relief in that buildup in a long time.
Mystic balls.
Okay. Hi. Hey, Nicole. Hi, Shy. Oh my God. And just like that.
And they were roommates.
Yeah. Life updates. I live in LA now. Briefly.
Nicole's studying abroad in LA.
Yeah.
We are, in fact, roommates. We're recording in person.
Yeah, this is, like, sort of surreal.
We're making eye contact.
Oh, my God. I'm uncomfortable, I'm babes. Blushing. Ugh, we've been watching Love Island, so just pardon the shift between an American and a British accent for the rest of the...
I'm going to try and keep it under control.
Yeah. Okay, me too.
Wait, I just want to make sure that this is... Yep, it's recording.
Okay.
Okay. Nicole and I were just, like... crouched over our computers trying to figure out how to record in person.
Yeah, believe it or not,
it's the Hunchback of Notre Dame trying to record a podcast.
It's easier to record a podcast on opposite sides of the country than it is to record in person for some reason.
Yeah.
So, but we're girl bosses and we persevered thanks to whoever wrote detailed instructions provided with screenshots.
So how do you like living with me?
So fab. I'm so upset.
What are your complaints?
It can't be perfect. No, you're great. You're a fantastic roommate. Like, no complaints.
You don't like the pissing in the shower call out?
No notes. Oh, yeah. Cheyenne walked in on me in the shower. And she was, like, just grabbing her hairbrush or something. And she goes, did you just pee? And I was like, yes. She goes, it smells like piss in
normally
here.
You have such nice smelling products, so normally when I go in the shower, when you're showering, it smells so good. So I literally walked in ready to like take a deep whiff and I
smelled like piss.
Smelled like literal piss. But it's okay, I piss in the shower too.
I felt really bad because I don't know people's stance on that. Like, some people think it's a communal space and so it's rude or whatever, but
no, I think if you don't piss in the shower, you're a fucking loser.
Fucking loser, or you're lying. I mean, you either do or you're lying.
Yeah.
Right?
That pretty much sums it up.
Right. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm sorry. I'm so nervous.
I'm so nervous. We've been edging all day, just waiting to talk to each other until we're recording it for this next hour.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about, I think we started talking about it with the new bachelorette, Katie, whatever, think what you want about her, but I think she's kinky as hell. She told all of her contestants that she doesn't want them to masturbate while they're
to jerk it
while they're on the show,
to wank it anymore.
And she, I don't know, that feels a bit controlling in like a hot way, like do what you want, I guess. But
I mean, first of all, the bachelorette is trying so hard to rebrand and it feels so in your face.
Yeah.
Doing like the most literal and like see-through rebrands of all time to try and like keep up with the times. Kind of have put a bad taste in my mouth, and I feel like they're really using this Katie chick. I mean, they've said how many times that she's sex positive. They're like beating us over the head with
it.
Yeah. Which isn't her fault. That's just how they're choosing to do it. And I think it's kinky and dominating of her to ask all the men
to cease
not
whacking
fiddle
it.
Their diddles for,
for how the many next, ways can we say
how many like yeah how many euphemisms are we gonna use no for the foreseeable future. But I don't think it makes her weird or like I'm not gonna yuck her yum or whatever, but I will say that it does make her look like kind of an idiot. Because if you ever wanted to in just like complete absolute motherfucking chaos to ensue amongst a group of like 15 men who think that they're alpha males, it's to take away
their one outlet to like
their one outlet to release all the testosterone. I mean, it's just they're gonna get backed up.
They're gonna get backed up.
They're gonna get testicularly constipated.
Yeah, talk about blue balls. I mean, I get it because she wants them to save all of that energy for her, and there's something to be said for like edging, right? It's a thing.
No, there's so much to be said for edging.
But
on a TV show where it just seems a male competition. I'm interrupting you.
No. It does, you're right. Like, it just seems very...
Like, she didn't think that through. She was, like, thinking with her clit a little bit. She was being like, that would be hot. But, like, logistically, that is...
Well, and now Chris Harrison is in there. So there's just these, like, two bimbos that are... No hate.
We lost our himbo. We're stuck with two bimbos.
Two bimbos. No hate to Tayshia. She is a goddess sent from heaven above.
She really is. But yeah, it's the show's running wild. They're losing the heteronormativity that made it so.
They lose to the father figure to sit her down and be like, listen, men need to.
They lost the father figure.
Yeah, they did. So I don't know. I do think that.
Yeah, this is why women shouldn't be in charge of things.
No, we just have no sense for like this sort of thing, you know.
Well, you put women in charge of things and
things go haywire.
I mean, talk about a mask mandate, more like a masturbation mandate.
Yeah, literally.
I always sound really like conservative on this podcast, and I'm not. I'm just a hater.
No, I mean, you're
before
like
I'm
not
a liberal, I'm a hater.
Before I'm a feminist, I'm a hater.
Before I'm a woman, I'm a hater. Yeah. And, you know, before I'm an ally, I'm a hater.
I didn't know who that was. Well, I'm new to LA. Oh yeah, there's a mask mandate in LA. We were like out and about on the town, and the mask mandate was set to be enforced at 11:59.
And at 11:59, I became a bleeding heart libertarian. I'll be damned.
I immediately was like, Donald Trump, save us.
Donald. We're just sad because we can't go to bars and have a mediocre time
anymore. I had a great time. But
I will say now that we're in our season two, is this our flop era?
Yeah, I was going to say, no, I
think this is... We have a flop era locked and loaded for season two.
No, this is not our flop era, Cheyenne.
No, I was just going to say that, and then I guess we should talk about, like, what the show is about, a.k.a. The Vampire
Diaries. What's the Vampire Diaries, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. That's what I prepared for. No, I was just going to say, last thing is a really funny side effect of the world reopening between like season one and now us recording season two is that I and Nicole as well have now interacted with people who have listened to the pod instead of just having like my mom text me every once in a while and be like, hey, I listened to your episode, like I wish you hadn't cussed so much, but like that was really good. Now Nicole and I see people who are like, oh my god, I listened to your podcast. It was so funny, and I have to comb through, what I possibly could have said that this acquaintance or friend of mine has listened to.
Yeah,
like how many times have I talked about dick veins? How many times has Nicole said she's gonna cream her pants, and all of a sudden I'm in a social setting in broad daylight
and someone's like, I listened to your podcast religiously, and I'm like, oh shit, so you heard me talk about my body like, dysmorphia.
Yeah, anyways, it sounds like we're gassing ourselves up. We're not. There's like five of y'all that listen to this podcast, and thanks for coming back, by the way. I did promise to kiss all of you on the mouth, and it's coming.
I'll kiss every single one of you wherever you want me to.
She will. She'll do more than that, too.
Okay, so this is season 2, episode 1.
I forgot, like, I knew that all of these events happened in the show, but I forgot that they all happen in one 40-minute
episode. In succession. It happens so quickly.
So quickly. Okay, I feel like we should give a cliff notes of where we left off.
Yeah, and if you're more confused than the cliff notes, then just maybe listen to the rest of the podcast. I don't know. I don't know
what to tell you. Yeah, just go listen to our last episode.
Yeah, but it...
shoot us a... Or literally Google it or watch the episode. I don't really care. I don't really think any of you are here, like, for a step-by-step recap. And if you are, then you're in the wrong spot.
May I redirect you to Wikipedia?
Yeah, which is actually what we take all our synopses from anyways, so...
Okay, so... Basically, we've written down.
It just won't be as chaotic, and it definitely won't be as unhinged. Okay, yeah, I wrote it down. Okay. In the season finale, if you recall, it was Founder's Day. Uncle John used his silly little invention, which is basically like a dog whistle.
Yeah, a dog whistle the only vampires can hear,
and the Lockwoods.
Supernatural.
Yeah. Yeah. So he used his like little vampire whistle to try and hunt down all the vampires and kill them. It worked on, like, all the tomb vampires. As usual, Stefan and Damon got away. But it really affected Tyler Lockwood and his dad.
Surprise, surprise. Genuinely, it sounded sarcastic, but it was serious. Tyler is in the car with Caroline and Matt and... Who else was in the car with him?
Just Caroline, Matt, and Tyler. So he crashes the car because he hears the, like...
Because he, like, reacts.
Migraine-inducing whistle.
Yeah.
Sending Caroline to the hospital.
Yeah.
And his dad also hears the whistle and gets mistaken for a vampire and thrown into the basement and burned alive with the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
So... That's too bad, but...
Off to a good start.
Mary Lockwood was kind of a dick, so...
Yeah, he was, like, a low-key an abuser, so... I guess that's...
Was he?
Yeah, he, like, beat the shit out... Well, he, like... Remember, he was, like, Matt,
oh, yeah.
Tyler.
Oh, yeah.
Fight each other.
He did hit Tyler. Yeah, that's grounds for being an abuser, I would say.
Yeah, for sure. That's his son.
Sorry, I don't mean to laugh. He's dead. And Jeremy took a bunch of pills and tried to kill... Jeremy took a bunch of pills and tried to kill himself with Anna's blood in his system so that he could be a vampire. Yeah. And that's where we left him. I forget which song was playing, but it was like
the
so
script
emo.
Or something.
It was like the script. He just like curled up in his bed with like... All the baby Tylenol that he had, like, mainlined.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, his suicide attempt was unsuccessful.
Which is so embarrassing.
So embarrassing.
So embarrassing when you try and turn yourself into a vampire and it just doesn't even work. And you just look like an idiot.
Yeah, and then Catherine's back.
Thank God. Catherine's here to save the show.
Yeah, she's a real character, that's for sure. So she pretends to be Elena. She kisses Damon in the process, which means that Damon thinks he kissed Elena, but it was Catherine.
Yeah, who's surprised that Damon tried to kiss Elena? Not I. Were you surprised by that? It happened quicker than you thought. You probably thought it was going to be more.
I thought there was going to be more of a build up, and I also just thought that he. I know this is so naive of me. I thought he had more respect for Stefan, but apparently, fucking not.
Yeah, I think he wants to respect Stefan's genitals, perhaps.
I don't. Okay, elaborate.
Damon wants to fuck Stefan. This isn't news to either of us.
I didn't know what you meant. Yeah, that's also true. That's also true. So,
according to the show, he wants to bag Elena. So he kisses Catherine, thinking that she's Elena, and then leaves. Catherine goes inside, finds John, I don't know, getting a carton of milk out of the refrigerator. She cuts his fingers off.
All of them.
All of them, except perhaps the thumb. Or all of them on one hand.
Mm-hmm.
the same one that has his fancy supernatural ring. So she cuts his fingers off and stabs him. And then the real Elena comes home and finds John, like, writhing on the floor. And that's our cliff notes for that. Did I miss anything?
I know, but let's jump right the fuck in, because Elena rushes through the door to find Uncle John on the ground. This is where it picks up. She's obviously pretty jarred.
Yeah, she's annoyed, to say the least. Oh, by the way, John's her dad, if anyone forgot.
Yeah, did we leave that out?
Sorry, I think
John's her daddy.
That out. John's her daddy. She calls 911. John's like, behind you, behind you. And Catherine's there, I guess, but Elena spins around and doesn't see her. And then she, like, just then remembers that Jeremy's in the house.
Yeah, so she rushes upstairs to
John lying on the floor.
I mean, 911 is on their way. What else is she to do?
Yeah, good point. And no one likes John, so.
No, she doesn't even fucking like him. No, she barely likes Jeremy. Yeah. And Jeremy's unconscious in his bed, so.
He's probably just asleep.
I know, but she, like, I mean, Uncle John has been stabbed, and so she thinks the worst, and she's like, Jeremy, wake up, wake up, to which he does not.
The paramedics come, they get Uncle John, Stefan shows up, and they're, like, sitting with Jeremy. Stefan's, like, taking his vitals, essentially. And it's like, nothing happened. He didn't take enough pills to kill himself. So basically, Anna's vampire blood just healed him. Which, like, oh my god, that's so embarrassing.
Oh my god, it's so embarrassing.
I'm embarrassed.
And Jeremy's freaking out because he wanted to be dead and he wanted to be a vampire.
He's freaking out.
And Stefan's screaming at him.
Yeah, Stefan's on his toxic masculinity.
He's
shit this
so
episode.
Toxic. He slaps Jeremy across the face, dude, so hard.
He just doesn't want Jeremy to try and kill himself again because he could legit unalive himself.
Yeah, he keeps telling him that the blood is, like, almost out of his system, mm-hmm. and if he kills himself again, then he might not wake back up because there's no vampire blood in him. And thus resulting in a genuine suicide attempt, which it would be
also embarrassing,
horrible, yeah, and sad
and bad.
They're like, no, he just wanted to turn into a vampire.
Yeah, it's not a 13 reasons why situation. Don't get mad at us for
listen, like, we're just reading the fucking like Wikipedia notes. Yeah.
I thought it was interesting that Elena was so upset that he was trying to turn himself into a vampire. She's like, why would you want that?
I mean,
Stefan, I'm like, don't you?
I'm an older sibling, so I really can identify with her as far as, like, wanting to control your other sibling.
It's really toxic, Nicole.
Yeah, it is, but it's more just, like, nurturing. Like, bitch, I've been through it. Like, I get it. Why won't you listen to me? You're just dumb and young and you don't understand.
Yeah, she's like, when I tried to turn into a vampire.
Yeah.
So, Bonnie. Hi, Bonnie. Bonnie's a witch, if y'all forgot.
Yeah.
She's also insanely underrated and isn't given much to do, but
this episode, she kind of comes through.
Yeah, it's going to change for sure. It'll turn around. But she gets to the hospital, and she's talking to Matt, and Matt kind of fills her in on everything that happened, how Caroline was fine, and then kind of collapsed, and it was all because Tyler heard the sound and freaked out. And then Damon arrives and finds Sheriff Ellen DeGeneres, aka Liz, aka Caroline's mama.
And by the way, Damon and Liz are on a first name basis. Damon, like, walks in and he's like, hey, Liz.
Yeah, they have a really weird thing going on, and he comforts her while she's crying, which is, like, really,
it's, like, really sweet and so sweet. Utterly platonic. Like, I don't think he wants to bag Sheriff Ellen DeGeneres at
I don't think so.
I don't think so either, but it's sweet. Like, how weirdly sweet of Damon.
They never talk about Stefan and Damon's mom. I don't think they had a mom. I mean, obviously they had a mom, but she was like...
I wonder what, like, the age gap is between Damon and Sheriff Ellen DeGeneres, a.k.a. Liz.
Like, do you think she's grooming him?
I don't think she's grooming him. I just think she's certainly edging him. Is it like an Olivia Rodrigo and
her producer boyfriend situation?
No. Although, everyone weigh in. What do you think of Olivia Rodrigo and her boyfriend? Because I think the age gap is just a little too big.
I don't think he's a groomer. I just think he's kind of a loser.
I mean, okay, fine. Maybe he's not like...
She's not a child.
She's 18.
It's still, right, it's not great. I'm just saying it's different from being a literal groomer.
Yeah, I guess he's just a fucking loser
then. I think he just makes him look like a kind of a fucking loser.
Or maybe she's just fucking famous and he's like trying to get his clout.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's so hard to say.
I don't know. Regardless, he looks like...
Regardless, he's too old for her. He looks like... What?
Someone like...
He's 24 and she's 18.
Right.
That's...
I'm not saying it's not weird. I'm just saying it's not... Like, I think we overuse
grooming is to be used for, like, 12-year-olds and their math teachers.
Like, a literal child. Yeah. Like, I don't think... I think... Not to, like, throw myself in the mix, but I think a lot of 18-year-olds have, like, thought that older guys were, like, thought that they were really cool and, like... We're definitely, like, within their, like, senses and right mind going after an older guy. I'm not saying that it's cool. Like, I think that makes the older guy look like, again, a fucking loser.
But that...
And it does make the girl look a little bit naive. But that being said, it's very different from when a literal child who has, like, a brain... as moldable as Play-Doh is like being given gifts and things by whatever their math teacher.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I think that you're not wrong. I just think, yeah, maybe grooming's the wrong word. Certainly there's a power and difference as far as like,
but like, is there, she like, there's
to be 18, to be 18 and to be so, because the thing is, whether, I mean, maybe he is in it for the right reasons and he genuinely likes her as a person. I just feel like I'm 24 right now and have nothing in common with an 18-year-old. So it feels like there's ulterior motives.
No, that like incites my gag reflex.
Right.
For sure.
Right.
But I will say the power dynamic is a little bit different in that she's, like, a literal pop star.
Yeah. But she's still...
She's not, like, living in her parents' house, I'm assuming.
I wonder like, where she
with
is
no
living.
With no car, like, yeah. Just, like...
She has a lot more agency, perhaps, than, like, a typical 18-year-old. Hard to say. I mean, 18-year-olds go to college, so, like, they're in college.
Yeah, I was 18 years old when I sent my, when I plunged myself into student loan debt.
Yeah.
And no one seemed to be, like,
yeah,
raising the alarm on my behalf.
Yeah, they were like, she knows what the fuck she's doing.
So, I mean, we digress.
I mean, yeah. Okay.
But that being said, no, Damon and...
And
sure.
Liz are cute. I think it's cute.
I think it's very sweet.
It's like a sweet
Damon
friendship.
Damon needs a maternal figure.
Yeah.
Elena shows up to the hospital and immediately is like, Bonnie, you're a witch. Can you save Caroline's life?
Yeah.
Turns out Caroline's legit dying, which they don't really...
No, she seems fucking fine. What the... She's not, like, broken up. She's not shattered into a million pieces.
I think they're thinking it was some sort of brain hemorrhaging is what I would assume. And I was... pre-med for 2 years.
Oh, so. My God. Okay, so I, what do you know? Brain hemorrhaging.
I have no idea. I just know that it's, like, generally bad.
I could probably have told you that, and I went to 0 years of med school.
No, I didn't go to med school. Whoa.
Shai's a med school dropout, if you guys didn't know.
No, that's... No.
That's not true.
Yeah, Bonnie's like, I literally can't save someone's life that's like AP level witching. I'm more in the honors program.
Right.
But Damon's like, well, I could give Caroline my vampire blood and heal her.
Yeah.
And they agree.
Yeah.
And then Bonnie, like, fucks off to do, I don't know what, practice her spells. And then it's just Damon and Elena. And he's like, we should talk about this.
Because keep in mind, Damon at this point thinks he's interacting with his brother's girlfriend, whom he just kissed. So he's like, shit is kind of awkward. I need to address this really head on. Meanwhile, Elena has no fucking idea what he's talking about.
Right.
So
he was making out with Catherine.
Because he was making out with Catherine. So he's like, we need to talk about the other night. And she's like, I literally don't know what you're talking about.
No, not the other night. They need to talk about, like, an hour ago.
Oh, it was an hour ago. Yeah. Oh, shit. I have my timelines.
These characters, the things that they go through and the amount of just, like, the ability to carry on and, like, like, watch your uncle get stabbed and then your brother almost kill himself and turn into a vampire and then show up at the hospital and, like, have a regular-ass conversation is just beyond
me. It's beyond me.
I do, like, half a day's work and take a nap.
Yeah, no.
Like, after we record this, we're going to sit in front of the TV and watch Love Island.
For 3 hours. And then go to bed.
Yeah. I'm not a superhero.
No. But Damon's, like, my one
extracurricular.
Yeah, trying to talk to Elena. Elena's, like, just deny, has no idea it happened. And Damon's sort of confused.
He thinks she's just being...
brushing it off.
I don't know.
Being coy. Hard to get. I don't know. And then Jenna shows up.
Dude, Elena's thigh gap is popping off.
Oh my god. Did you notice? No. Oh my god. Not just Elena's though, but Catherine's, who I understand is the same actress. Shout out Nina Dobrev. But the outfits that they put Catherine in, I'm like, you weigh 90 pounds. She lost 3 pounds.
It's unbelievable how much hotter Catherine is than Elena.
Right? It's the attitude, I think. I don't know. I really love Nina Dobrev in this role as Catherine more than I like her as Elena.
Yeah, obviously.
Elena's such a worm. Yeah.
A worm?
Yeah, she's just, like, so passive. I don't know.
That's such a mean thing to call another person. a worm.
It's just, but it makes sense because it's obviously just her character, and this goes to show you how far your personality can really take you in life. Okay.
Jenna shows up. Keep in mind, Jenna still thinks that she walked out on Elena kissing her boyfriend's brother. And she's being surprisingly really chill about it, I guess because there were so many almost deaths in the night that it's, like, kind of low on her to-do list.
Yeah, to be concerned about, for sure.
But she's talking to Elena about, I don't know what, and Elena's like, no, we didn't talk tonight. Like, I don't remember seeing you. And Damon overhears and puts two and two together really quick that Catherine's in town.
So smart.
Because really he's such a smart little boy.
He's such a smart little boy.
Good lad. Meanwhile, Catherine, who once again is here to save this goddamn show, arrives at the Gilbert household while Stefan is there keeping an eye on Jeremy.
He's watching Jeremy.
You can talk now.
While Elena is at the hospital. But Catherine arrives. Obviously, he thinks it's Elena. Catherine straight up is like, oh my god, like, it was really hard to see her, gives him a very intimate hug, and then
she's just trying to get some,
tries to kiss him, which would be totally normal, but Stefan is slightly smarter than Damon and realizes right away, he's like, this ain't Elena, she hardly kisses me, and then she never puts out like this.
She never puts out. He's like, this is too good to be true.
This is too easy. It must be Catherine.
I have to gaslight her before she'll let me.
I have to put her in a life or death situation before she'll even give me a little.
She has to be having a literal trauma response before she'll
bang me. So then they get into, like, a steamy little fight, and he, like, pins her up against the wall and is holding her neck. I don't know. I wasn't not into it, and she's just smirking the whole time. So sassy. She's a sassy one.
She just makes Elena so unappealing.
I know.
Damon walks in and Catherine disappears because she, I guess, is avoiding Damon now that she's made out with him.
Yeah, and he knows, like, the jig is up. Like, he knows, so it's not fun anymore.
Yeah, it's not fun for her anymore. And so Damon and Elena show up, and the three of them have, like, a little put their heads together and talk about what's going on. Damon admits... Can I just read this straight from the Wikipedia?
Please, be my guest.
Synopsis, which if you're confused, just literally close out of this and the Wikipedia synopsis. Damon also admits that he kissed Catherine thinking she was Elena. Something that makes Stefan upset.
Something makes Stefan a little upset.
Like, no shit.
Like, obviously. And then Elena stops them before they get into a literal brotherly fight.
Elena seems to have no prob that Damon...
No.
...tried to kiss her.
No, she's, like, rushing right past it. But she ends up talking to Stefan about it. And Stefan says something along the lines of, like, I can't believe that he would even do that. But she says something along the lines of, I wouldn't do that. And it's like, okay. I would bet $1,000 that if Damon genuinely made a move on Elena, she would kiss him back. At least once. At least a little before she was like, wait, this is wrong.
It happens like 20 minutes into the episode.
Yeah.
And she's not down.
I know, but that's because she had already claimed that she would never do that.
Oh, I see. Okay, so you think that if she knew that she wouldn't go back on her word or look bad or get caught... Because
at that point, that's even worse, to be like, I straight up said I wouldn't do this and then I did it. I think, like, out of the blue, Damon tried to kiss her, vibes were right, this statement hadn't been said, she would do it. Because she's a little backstabbing bitch. She just wants attention.
Yeah, that's a good point. But she is pretty... I guess we'll never know.
Stigmatized. Yeah, okay. Moving on.
Mayor Lockwood's having a funeral. And his younger brother shows up to pay his respects. And I would like to pay my respects.
To Mace?
To Mason Lockwood, yeah. For being the finest piece of ass to walk into Mystic Falls in a long time.
Whoa.
Do you disagree?
No, but that's so interesting because I clocked it. I was like, damn, he's hot as fuck. But I didn't want to say anything because I didn't know what your taste was. I feel like he's more my taste than yours, but like we can share. I'm down with that.
I think we should share.
Like objectively, he's attractive.
I think he's so hot.
He
shows up to his brother's funeral wearing a gray wife beater tank top and a Bronco, like a Ford Bronco.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. I think the outfit might be throwing me. That's like my main thing. Because I was like, is he hot? Is he not hot? I don't know. I think he's cute.
I think he's hot.
In any case.
He shows up and hangs out with Tyler for a bit.
Yeah.
And Damon asks about him. And Liz like basically is like, he's not in the council or anything. He doesn't like believe in vampires. He's just like a hot piece of ass and he's here. And we're like, okay, word. Like,
Liz does you, mention
casting director.
Yeah, they mentioned that he's a surfer boy. And I was like, Shy would like that for sure. So, yeah, Mason's back in town. Moving the fuck on back to the hospital.
I love that we're bouncing between a hospital and a funeral.
And a funeral. It's a real death-heavy ep.
Sounds right for us. A lot surprise of mourning. No one goes to the Mystic Roll. That's my one complaint about this episode.
We'll be back, I'm sure. I have high hopes. Stefan and Elena go to the hospital to talk to John because they're like, dude, Catherine's back. What the fuck is going on? And
yeah, if you recall, John and Isabel, Elena's birth mother, were working indirectly with Catherine. But she gives him his ring back, and he says that he never spoke directly with Catherine. He was just kind of like following orders and doing whatever with Isabel. He also just, like, tells them to get the fuck out, essentially. He's like, I hate having to see my daughter with a vampire. It's, like, disgusting.
It's kind of, like, generational racism in this
Might I draw a parallel?
In the sense that, like, he later explains to Jeremy that, like, something he was born to believe, and like his dad was this way and that's how he was taught, and he will teach his kids that. So like the prejudice runs really deep.
Yeah, now that you've run that comparison by, I feel like what I'm about to say is not correct. I mean, that aside, I was about to say that John is kind of right. Obviously. If we're comparing it to racism, that's not right.
No, I mean, the vampires are objectively bad.
I want to point out that, again, I feel like this happens so much where, like, because we're through the POV of a teenage girl who's, like, in love with a vampire or whatever, we're, like, really missing out on the fact that, like, if we're just looking at this objectively, like, John literally is in the right. Like, why would you ever want your 16-year-old, like, daughter, loved one, whoever, to be in a relationship with someone who has killed, dare I say, I mean, at the very least, from season one to now, he's probably killed a dozen people.
Yeah, but, like, Elena's equally as culpable for all of those, ultimately.
Yeah, but I guess he doesn't know that. Maybe
he doesn't know that. No, you're right. And ultimately, like, it is through a POV of a teen in love with a vampire, and you want to see it through her eyes and be like, you don't understand, no, he's different. Like, I love him. Like, yeah, okay, we've heard it all before, but ultimately, he do be killing people. That is murder.
And yeah, I know you're right, though, that she also is an accomplice in pretty much every single one of those murders, and that doesn't seem to bother her, so.
In the slightest. So they kind of make, we should hold her a little more accountable. Yeah, I mean, she's 16. It's barely different than an 18-year-old that can decide to date a 24-year-old with no repercussions. What's the difference between 16 and 18, baby? Oh my god, I was joking. I'm joking. There's okay.
So yeah, Elena leaves. She's like, you're so hateful. Like, I love my boyfriend. And then Stefan stays behind and gets so motherfucking crazy aggro. Like, chokes so aggro. John. He gets in his face.
He threatens him.
He threatens him. He forces him to drink his blood. Like, oh, if you hate vampires so much, drink my blood. And then, like, I'll kill you if you don't leave. He basically says, you need to leave town and get out of my girlfriend's life in 24 hours, or I'm going to kill you and you're going to be a vampire.
Which is the worst punishment. I don't know. Jeremy just tried to do it on his own accord, so.
And then he just hops out after doing some crazy torture shit.
It was like, I was scared. I was like, damn, Stefan's on his toxic masculinity. Yeah, he is.
He goes out and basically lies to Elena.
Yeah.
She's like, did you ask him to leave? And he's like, sorta. She's like, did you threaten him? And he's like, yeah. And she's like,
she's like, you did what you had to do, babe. Toxic. Yeah. Oh, so bad.
Okay, back to the funeral.
Back to the funeral. Okay, so Catherine shows up.
She comes to pay her respects.
Catherine comes to pay her respects. Keep in mind, she's wearing the tightest jeans I've ever seen in my life. Some sort of, like,
I can, like, hear them squeaking every time she walks. You know when you used to wear, like, really tight skinny jeans and stuff?
Yeah.
And you could, like, they kind of, like, squeaked when you walked.
Yeah, she dresses better than Elena. Her hair is better than Elena. And keep in mind,
she's even skinnier than Elena. Apparently.
Somehow she is. And everyone thinks that this is Elena. So Bonnie,
it wouldn't fool me. I'd be like, bitch, you never look this good.
Yeah. And also her act, like, Nina Dobrev as an actress. I'm surprised that she could pull this off. I don't know why. She's, like, so rude and confident, and I always just picture...
She spent so much time being...
Little Elena.
Elena.
Yeah.
that I think we're just not used to, like, enjoying watching her on screen.
Word, bitch. I'm not.
Yeah, she shows up to the mayor's memorial, and Bonnie walks over to her, obviously thinking that she's Elena, or tells her that Damon followed through on what he promised and healed Caroline.
With his blood.
With his blood.
Yeah.
And then she goes to touch her and does her crazy witchy shit and realizes that it's not Elena.
She can, like, feel her energy, and she, like, knows it's whack. So
she runs away and goes to call Elena, but Catherine follows her and literally pins her to the wall.
Yeah, they get Catherine's in a little such fight. A top. Yeah.
Stefan shows up and
he's like, Catherine.
He's like, unhand her.
Yeah, he saves the day for real, for real.
Bonnie tries to do her, like, scary migraine witchy thing on Catherine, and it does not work. So takeaway from that is that Catherine is a lot older than Stefan and Damon and probably way stronger. And right. That Bonnie's not as cool as she thinks she is.
Bonnie has been practicing, but so the longer you live as a vampire, the stronger you get.
It's quite the opposite from human beings, yeah.
Word. Okay.
In some ways.
So
the longer you live as a vampire, the more you're inclined to want to date a 16-year-old high schooler, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, it's just not awesome. He could be dating, like, some hot MILF. Like,
he
could
be dating anyone. Why wouldn't he, like, date Matt's mom?
Date
Jenna.
Date Jenna. Jenna's
an adult woman.
I mean, he's still, like, 16, though.
I don't know. The whole thing is strange. Tales all this time. We've all been wondering this since Twilight came out, I guess.
Yeah. Okay, that's true. We just love an age gap, so.
We love a power dynamic.
We love a power dynamic.
Consensually.
A consensual power dynamic. Sort of consensual. I don't know.
Sort of. What's the statutory rule for immortality?
Yeah.
Because technically it's not statutory.
Because technically he's 16 or whatever. 16,
even though he looks 30, but he's a 16-year-old who needs, like, preventative Botox.
He's a 16-year-old that lived through the Civil War, but
I think it's fine. What do you think?
I'll allow it.
It would only be not fine if he wasn't hot. That's how these things work. Facts. I swear to
that's
God.
That's so facts.
Not that that's right, but that's all. Elena shows up with Jeremy and Jenna. She talks to Damon about the fact that they kissed in, like, a weird roundabout way. And I thought this was especially painful. He says, why is it such a surprise that I would kiss you?
Yeah.
And she said, it's not a surprise. I'm just surprised that you thought I would kiss you back.
The look in Damon's face, dude, he was broken up.
Yeah, he's down bad.
He's down really bad. And Elena felt bad, too. You could tell. Like, she was like,
I just think that's such a savage thing to say to someone. Also, the fact that she's not surprised that he would kiss her, and this whole time she's been, like, telling Stefan that there's literally nothing to worry about, that it's, like, completely platonic.
I know, but her whole thing is it's platonic, like, under her
on her terms.
Like, she knows in a heartbeat Damon would kiss her, but she claims that she would never kiss him back. Right?
Yeah, you know she loves it. She, like,
she loves the attention.
She, like, pretends that she's so different from Catherine when in actuality they both, like, love the attention of having two guys at their beck and call.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Be honest about it.
And she loves knowing that Damon will always be her savior no matter what, whether or not she kisses him or not, whether or not they're in a relationship or not, he'll be around.
Mm-hmm.
So
are we mad or are we just jealous?
Hella jealous, dude. Hella.
Anyways, Jeremy finds Tyler drinking, and the two of them, like, cheers to Tyler's dead father.
Yeah, Jeremy tries to relate to Tyler. I don't know why he's always trying
my parents are
Tyler.
Dead too, and Tyler's like, fuck off.
Dead dad club, which is a thing. I'm not just making that up. Dead Dad Club, and
it's a thing.
I know people with dead dads, and they relate to other people with dead dads. Like,
well, of course. I thought you were saying that Dead Dad Club. I thought you were going to tell me about like some Facebook group or something.
And I'm just, like, sure there's God. A Facebook group, and these are growing young men. They need this fatherly figure.
Of course, they're like trauma bonding, which they're is fine. Mason walks in. And it literally is like, Jeremy, scram. This is why I love
Mason. Yeah, they were like sharing a drink. I'm pretty sure that Mason uses the words, don't you got somewhere to be? And it's like, I'm at his dad's wake. Like, not really, but.
Yeah.
But.
It's like, I actually have to run some errands, so I guess I'll get out of here.
Jeremy does, in fact, scram. And Mason and Tyler have a moment to.
Bond chat. And whatnot.
Yeah.
And then later in the episode, let's just get this out of the way now. Tyler's also on his toxic masculinity shit.
Well, Tyler's dad just died. Like, that's gotta be
that's really fucking insensitive. Rough. That was so
he's so toxic. But the way
he's so toxic, I can't believe he's mourning.
The way he performs his grief is like pretty toxic, and he ends up going to his dad's desk and like smashing everything.
The crystal paperweights.
The crystal paperweights, man.
The ball, the fountain pens.
The pens.
The plaques.
Yeah.
They're all, you know, the little golf ball in a
glass casing. Yeah. And then his mom. The
mini tokens of a white upper class man.
Yeah. On his like oak desk that probably weighs a ton.
That's a lot, but maybe.
His mom comes in to try to stop him from destroying this all of his father's belongings.
This is
where it gets toxic.
This is what I meant. And he pushes her.
He pushes his own mother.
I'm surprised she didn't fly away. That is a scrawny-ass
woman.
Lithe woman.
Yeah, all these women are really on their diet shit, but... he does push his mom and
her thigh gap is bussin'.
It's bussin'. But Mason pins him the fuck down and is like, calm down. And then he finally submits.
Oh, I would love to submit to Mason.
Oh.
Do you think that Mason did that because Tyler was looking really submissive and breedable?
Tyler was not looking submissive and breedable.
Which guy is the most submissive and breedable in this show, would you say?
Matt
is so breedable.
Matt's so submissive and breedable. Yeah, and I would love to dominate and breed Matt.
That's fucked up.
You asked.
I did. No, I know. Sorry, I really backed you in the corner and was like, ew, Nicole.
You're like, that's disgusting.
So, Stefan and Catherine go on a walk?
Yeah.
Really early quarantine vibes to just, like, go on a walk.
Oh, my God. If I have to go on another walk in the next 4 years, I will.
One more fucking walk.
Pull a Jeremy. I'm kidding.
Don't. Stefan just wants to know why the fuck she's back. She tells her, or she tells him that it's because she's in love with him.
Yes.
Stefan's like, okay, what's the real reason why you're back? And she's like, no, really, like it's for you. And he's like, well, I wasn't ever actually in love with you. You were compelling me the whole time. Yeah. So like, what do you want from me?
Yeah. And she basically says, believe what you want. We both know the truth, i.e. Stefan was, in fact, in love with her. She wasn't compelling him in any capacity other than with that voodoo clam, I guess. Other than
with her nice rack.
Yeah, that corset.
She does look at his butt several times during the walk. I love her.
The power dynamic, like the power shift, I feel like Stefan's pretty neutral as far as his... like where he falls on the binary of power. Does that make sense? But like Elena's a zero. Like she will submit to
anyone. She's submissive and breedable.
She will tell anyone that tells her anything, she will do. Meanwhile, Catherine is such a dominatrix.
She's such a top.
And it's like, I would just like to know what Stefan is like in bed personally. because how is he getting these two polar opposite women?
Well, you can see that he's like going so crazy in terms of like smacking other men around. So I wouldn't be surprised.
That's true. Well, but
that being said, she probably really liked that, dare I say it, that like when Stefan was actually 16. So she's the groomer here, by the way, because he was actually a human 16-year-old when she was fugging him. And dare I say, he was probably being hella submissive and breedable because he was like a 16-year-old child.
Okay, yeah, he was being hella submissive and breedable. That's so true. I agree with that for sure.
Like now, it might be different. I don't know. I guess we'll have to watch another sex scene. I still think she would top the hell out of him, though.
Oh, she would. She would top the hell out of Damon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this woman is on her boss girl shit. Boss girl era.
Boss girl. Boss girl. Lady boss. Boss that is also a woman.
Her femdom era.
Female boss. Anyways, he tells her that he hates her. And she gets pretty mad at, there's like a random pole that's like so accessible stuck in the ground next to them, and she stabs him with it. What was that? It looked like a...
I thought it was just like a stick.
I know, but no, it was like something metal.
It's just right
there. It's just right there.
Oh my God. I don't know, whoever was on props
that day was like, this could be right hypothetically here.
Okay, so Stefan is stabbed.
She runs away. Damon shows up and tries to like get on his nerves about the fact that he once again hypothetically kissed Elena. And Stefan's like, I'm not even mad. I'm just pissed that Catherine's here. And so as much as I like hate you, I would just much rather focus on getting rid of Catherine before we like have this out.
Yeah.
Kind of mature of him. Again, the tension, they're like always an inch away from each other's faces.
They are. They're always so close.
They're always so close together. I cannot believe that these two actors are heterosexual in real life.
It's unbelievable.
And have like wives. I guess John took the threat pretty seriously and he'll be leaving sans fingers.
Yeah, what happened? They just wrapped him up and they were like,
see ya.
Have fun. Good luck.
I don't think they sewed them all back on. I think at that point, you just don't have fingers anymore.
Yeah.
So that's a bummer. He says goodbye to Jeremy and is just like, I fucking hate vampires and I've learned to hate vampires and I'm going to keep on hating vampires and have a good life, Jeremy. And it's just like a really weird way to say goodbye. And then Jeremy asks him why the ring didn't save his father's life in the car accident.
Yeah.
And John explains to us that the ring only protects you if there's a supernatural cause of death.
Yeah. And it was like a true accident.
It was just a true accident.
Which is so scary, dude. Mm-hmm. I, like, life is so fragile. I love you. I want you to know that.
Oh, my God. Love you, too. Were you thinking about the fragility of life when I almost killed us the other day on the road?
Oh, my God. We were driving.
Guys, a bus came out of nowhere. I saw.
We're just trying to get some Chick-fil-A.
Anyways, life is fragile.
But we're alive.
We're fine. Yeah, so Damon goes back to the Salvatore mansion, and Catherine is waiting for him on the couch.
Surprise, surprise.
And
it's very interesting to see the brothers interact with another vampire that they're also like pretty close with, because she just drops by and like leaves like they do.
Yeah.
Like with such haste.
Yeah.
Which
is refreshing, because it's normally refreshing. It's them doing it to people.
They deserve
really
it.
Really good point. They do. She's like, I'm here to say bye. And he's like, I don't think that you're here to say bye. Like you clearly are here for a reason that you're not telling us. How does she end up seducing him? How does it happen so fast?
I know. I mean, Damon sort of hints that, like, she's there for him or something like that.
Oh, I think he chokes her.
And that just does the trick.
And she does smile.
She smirks. She's always smirking.
She's a smirky girl.
Yeah.
And yeah, they end up like making out all like left, right, and center in the living room, like on the ground, on the wall. He knocks over a bookshelf.
Clothes are coming off.
She's her shirt's like halfway unbuttoned. You can see her bra. It's all very exciting.
And then Damon eventually is like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, I just need to know one thing before we, like,
I know Damon's, like, on his simp shit.
He's really simping. Well, he just needs to know that the feelings are reciprocated. I mean, Damon spent hundreds of years looking for this girl.
Yeah.
So he basically asks her...
Damon's the most submissive and breedable.
I think with the right dom, with the right top, he's probably
right top.
A really breedable bottom.
I can see him wanting that in the bedroom at least.
Yeah. He probably is a piss kink would be my guess.
Oh, God. I feel like Catherine would piss on him.
Catherine would piss on him.
She'd probably have a really strong stream too. It would be like a fire hose.
Oh my God.
I'm done.
Damon asked Catherine if she was ever in love with him.
He's like, we can forget it all. Like the past 150 years that you've been ignoring me, that you've been ghosting me. Like, yeah, all.
Like, no worries.
Just tell me that you.
It's me. Like, tell me it's me. And she looks him dead in the face and says, I never loved you. It was always Stefan. Always.
These hoes are boring as hell. Really? Stefan?
I just want to know what Stefan's packing to make these women die for him. Both of them.
But yeah, Damon is so heartbroken. I mean, we all want what we can't have. Like, that would be to have someone say that to you.
It's so cold.
Is so rough. Like, yeah. I don't know.
Especially for your brother that you, like,
have this already. That you want to fuck.
That you want to bang, yeah. Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Rough.
So
Damon gets wasted.
Yeah, he does what the only right thing to do is, and he gets completely obliterated. Yeah. And goes to Elena's. And tries to assault her.
Does not try to assault her.
No, he doesn't. But he goes to Elena's and he's drunk and sad. By the way, Elena's wearing two camisoles. I just feel like I have to, as the like patron saint of
clocking her camisole. Clocking usage.
Elena's camisoles, yeah. I feel obligated to say. But anyways. He's talking to her and he's like, you're just in denial. Like, you feel something for me. You're lying about what's going on between us. He's kind of making a good point. Like, he's not a complete idiot. Like, obviously there's something there.
Yeah, in his defense, like, Elena's, she's playing the hell out of him.
She is.
She's treating him like a boyfriend without any of the benefits, in the words of New Girl.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. He kisses her without her
C word,
and she's pushing him away, and finally she like fully pushes him back and says, no, it's I care about you, but it's Stefan, and it's always going to be Stefan.
Yep.
So Damon's two for two in terms of being rejected by women who look exactly the same.
Yeah, that's really tough, man. He's down bad. Yeah.
He's down really bad.
He's down bad.
Speaking of down bad, Jeremy walks in. Yeah. Jeremy just always looks so fucking beat.
Too.
He's just so fucking annoying to me.
I
think it's the way he talks.
Yeah, the way people talk is like very... Is that how he talks?
Yeah, kind of. And Damon's like, oh, hey, what's up, Jeremy, you fucking punk? Like, oh, you want to be a vampire? It's so sick. Like, I love being a vampire. It's just that, like, everything sucks and no one likes me. He's just, like, having a complete meltdown.
He's having a meltdown.
Which ends in him literally, I mean, he's like, oh, you have Anna's blood in your system, huh? You want to be a vampire? Cool. It's so fun. You can be like me. And then literally snaps his neck.
he snaps his neck, and he's not even for sure that he has Anna's blood in him. Like,
he's he doesn't care. He's just acting out.
He's acting out. Yeah,
Damon kills people in moments of anger in the same way that, like, white teenager boys punch drywall in moments of anger. It's comparable.
Yeah.
Not in severity, obviously, but in frequency.
Yeah.
And intention.
Yeah. I mean, I think teenage boys, 20-something men, do they ever grow out of it? That's my question.
Boys will be boys.
Boys will be fucking boys, and maybe boys will punch hole you in the shouldn't drywall. Have made him mad, is all I'm saying. What do you do to deserve it?
Yeah, maybe just don't date a man if you don't want to have to fix your drywall. Sounds pretty easy to me. So Jeremy's dead on the ground. Damon's like, uh-oh, and leaves. That awkward moment when you...
Kill your crush's brother. Your brother's girlfriend's brother. And obviously Elena's pretty distraught.
Yeah, she's pretty sad, to say the least. And she sees that Jeremy is wearing the ring. So Uncle John must have given it to him. And so because that was a supernatural cause of death, he'll be returning
sort of
to life.
Yeah. Stevan's here, and they're freaking out because they don't know if the ring's going to bring him back to life, if he's going to turn into a vampire. They're not sure what's up.
I think it's really fucked up that Stefan's there, and he's like, Damon knew that he was wearing the ring. He wouldn't have killed him if, like, he didn't see the ring.
Yeah.
Just the fact that he's defending Damon while Elena's literally holding Jeremy's dead body seems pretty out of line. Like, read the room, do a vibe check here or there, perhaps.
He needed to do a vibe check, and he needed to pick which side he was going to be on, which alliance was stronger. And I guess he just wanted to keep it real neutral. Yeah, but in the Grammy performance of the fucking year, Jeremy resurrects.
The Grammy performance?
I thought it was incredible. I was like, he... could have fooled me. Like, the man was dead.
Did he sing a song?
Is the Grammys just music?
Yeah.
In the Oscar performance of the year. Okay, I was like,
whoa.
I don't watch the Oscars.
Yeah, he resurrects real good. I love when they go, she's holding Jeremy, and she's like, I fucking hate Damon. He's a piece of shit. Like, blah, blah, blah. Stefan's like, okay, good news is that Jeremy's still a human. Jeremy's like, God fucking damn it. How embarrassing.
Yeah. And he's once like, again, damn it. And Elena's like, why would you?
Twice in one 24-hour period. And both times it, like, wasn't what he wanted to happen.
Yeah, that's honestly like, humiliating.
Like, execute Jeremy.
But basically, Elena's like, why would you want to be a vampire? Like, that's not good. She's trying to pull a big sister moment.
Yeah, well, meanwhile, Stefan's standing there and he's like, I'm a vampire.
He's like, my boyfriend. You don't seem to mind it. Yeah.
Back to the hospital. Catherine is paying a little visit to our good friend Caroline. She shows up and Caroline's like, Elena, like, what are you doing here? And why do you look so damn sexy? Why do you look so damn good?
Yeah, well, she looks the most opposite of Elena. I just like a girl with little... a little cat in her step and a piss kink.
Caroline's like, Elena, what are you doing here? And Catherine's like, oh, I'm not Elena, I'm Catherine, and I want you to give a message to Stefan and Damon for me.
And Caroline's like, what the fuck are you talking
about? They gave me some crazy Percocet.
She's like, I'm on hella drugs right now.
Yeah. And Catherine... she smothers Caroline to death with a pillow.
The message that Catherine told Caroline to give was game on. But then she kills her, so I'm confused. Oh, but she knew that Damon's blood was in her system. Why was Damon blood in Caroline's system?
Because she was dying.
Word. Yeah, that's the end of the episode.
Thanks for, if you're here and you listen to season one,
welcome back, babe.
Welcome back. Thanks for still being here.
Yeah.
Anyways. Love you.
Ciao.
Bye. You didn't say I love you back.
I love you, babe.
Oh, okay. Bye.
Mystic balls.